Department of Development Ministry. Let me apologize for being late. We have one lift and we've just covered when we got to the meeting. There's another bill of the side, but in all the committees, the committee rooms are busy. So we all use the small lift. So we have to wait up for an opportunity for the lift to come down. So there's quite a queue for downstairs. But without wasting any more time, we have on the agenda the briefing by the Department of Basic Education on the comprehensive statute to train ECT practitioners. Are they here? Yeah. Okay. Welcome also to the staff, to the members of the Department of Basic Education. Our officials usually sit at the table. Will you join us, please? Yeah. And then DG, our delegation is by DG, will of course give us a briefing on the implementation of the ECT National Plan of Action with the time frames. This is one of the issues that the committee felt that we should be taken on board, since early childhood development is extremely important in the life, in the developmental life of a child. Secretary, is there any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. I have a couple of apologies I've received. One is from the Minister, Honourable Thabile Dlamini, who won't be able to be with us today. She is scheduled to attend an urgent meeting in Johannesburg. Another one is from the Deputy Minister, Honourable Marian Tuli, who is also scheduled to share an appointment, dental appointment. So she won't be with us today. Another one is from the Basic Education, the DG, Mr. Bobby Subrayan, who is unable to be with us due to the tight schedule for the month. But he nominated the Acting Chief Director, Ms. Marlouis Samos, to interact with the committee today. One is from Honourable Dume, who has a bereavement. She won't be able to be with us. She's arranging funeral for the 15th. I've received a call from Mr. Bula, who missed his flight to Cape Town. And another one is from Honourable Magakula, also missed his flight. Honourable Makuba just indicated that she'll join the meeting later. She has to arrange important document for his political party, but she will be with us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Waters will be leaving at about 25 past 10. Honourable members, that's apologies. we're going to start with the briefing by the Department of Social Development on the implementation of the ECT National Action Plan, and then we'll follow with a presentation by Mrs. Summers.
Samuels.
Okay, thank you. Over to you, DJ.
Thank you, Chairperson. And honorable members, I think I will cut the introduction part, but we are with the usual team, the PDG and the team. Chair, this presentation is basically sharing the information with the members following a process, or let me rather say processes that we undertook last year. There was a review of the National Integrated Plan on ECD. We also had the diagnostic report that was developed by Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. And we, lastly, the third process was the ECD conference that was in Buffalo City in March last year. Now, we have been to cabinet, but there was a challenge in the fact that there were two processes. There was an improvement plan by DPME, and also we had our own action plan. So cabinet said we must come up with an integrated process. This document or this presentation will indicate you know, the work and progress in terms of that integration. We must just indicate that we're still going to go to cabinet for a final, this is just a draft, for a final report, but we would like just to share with the members the progress so far, where we are. Margot Davies, our chief director for children, will be taking us through the presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members, officials of DSD and DBE. Thank you for the opportunity to present the Zero Draft Integrated Early Childhood Development Programme of Action moving ahead 2013 to 2018. The outline of the presentation has purpose, background, the integrated ECD programme, conclusions and recommendations. I just want to note before I even start with the presentation that if you see the slide, you will note that the budget hasn't been allocated in that particular column. What we are doing is that we're having the plan costed, and we're hoping by the end of June that Conrad Robertson will complete the process. And it's been done in conjunction with DPME. So the purpose of the presentation is to make a presentation on an integrated ECD program of action moving ahead 2013 to 2018 to the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. The Department of Social Development, in collaboration with the ECD sector, launched an awareness campaign to promote ECD in local communities. The purpose of the campaign was to promote ECD in South Africa, ensure that all South Africans commit themselves to supporting the implementation of the of early childhood development services in the country. And as the DG has stated, this was part of a concurrent review process of ECD, Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency, and the Interdepartmental Steering Committee on Early Childhood Development, commissioned a diagnostic review of the prevailing early childhood development paradigm, current services, human resources, funding and This was the first evaluation under the emerging national evaluation system led by the department, by DPME. At that point, there were three national activities which impacted on ECD services in South Africa from 2011 to 2012. These included the review of the National Integrated Plan for ECD, the ECD Diagnostic Review, and the ECD Conference Action Plan. The aim of the BUG was to review the ECD services, provisioning, coordination, and implementation for children birth to 4 years in South Africa. The above processes were merged into the Zero Draft and Integrated ECD Programme of Action moving ahead 2013-2018. And this just gives you a picture of how we've taken the three processes and merged it into one. The time frames, which I think is what has been requested, at that point we felt that we're not going to put absolute dates on it, but we put it into short term, medium term, and long term. Our short term was April 2013 to March 2014. Medium term is April 2014 to March 2016. And long term, April 2016 to March 2018. And in the presentation you will see medium, short-term, medium-term, and long-term. The first one was, the first aspect of the action plan was legislation and the policy framework. The objective was to provide an enabling environment for building strong early childhood development institutions. The output is an ECD policy developed. This was high priority. It's to develop an integrated ECD policy. The responsibility is DBE, DSD, DOH, Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disability, DPME, and it is led by DSD, and it's short term. At the moment, it's we've completed the allocation of a service provider who will do the first draft of the ECD policy. And this is done in conjunction with DBE and also with UNICEF. We're hoping that this should be completed by the latter part of this year. The next one was to develop the integrated regulatory framework for ECD. What we are busy doing at the moment is conducting an audit on the applicable legislation. All the different departments are mentioned there, and it's medium term. And we're looking at the gaps and challenges in the various legislation. And this goes beyond just the Children's Act. It looks at the Municipal Act. It looks at the South African Schools Act. It looks at all acts that's related to ECD, and there's quite a few in different things, such as infrastructure and other the health policy, etc. So I think that is what we're trying to do, is getting an audit of where this legislation is, what does it state, and how are we going to go ahead to ensure that there's an integrated regulatory framework. The next one is review all legislation, regulations, policy and municipal bylaws pertaining to ECD. It's a medium priority, and it's a medium term time frame. It's alignment and harmonization of the legislation, regulations, policy and municipal bylaws. Those are the responsible departments. And once again, this is about ensuring that there is some form of harmonization, particularly the bylaws at municipal level, because we're finding that that is where some of the problem of implementation lies, in that every different municipalities have different bylaws, and there's no standardized bylaws for this. The next one is norms and standards for differentiated service provisioning and funding for ECD, reviewed, and new norms and standards developed. Develop norms and standards for differentiated services provisioning and funding for ECD. Again, the ones that are responsibility. And this is long term. And this will be done naturally after the review of all legislation and policies. The amendment of the Children's Act is number 5 in this objective. It proposed amendments to legislation and ECD to be included in the parliamentary legislative program. Promulgation and implementation of the agreed upon legislative amendments. As its amendment to the Children's Act, DSD will be the lead and will be taking this to bring it to Parliament, and it's at the short term. The next one is 6, to develop an integrated strategy for the implementation of universal access for children birth to school going age. We want to do the desktop research on the concept of the universal access to ECD. Complete a cost analysis on the integrated strategy. Conduct a consultative process on the universal access to ECD services and programs. Obtain approval on the integrated strategy through various interdepartmental structures of the government, up to cabinet and 3 spheres of government. Effect appropriate legislation amendments. And once again, it is led by DSD, and those are the different departments involved. And it will also have a time frame or a long-term time frame. 7th objective is feasibility study conducted on on options for intersectoral management and coordination. The activity is research on various options of an integrated governance structure, such as an ECD council, or an ECD institute, or an ECD agency, and integrated ECD directorate units in the Department of Health, Women, Children and People with Disabilities Correctional Services, COCTA. And again, it's part and parcel of the policy development, and it is led by DSD. So,
just a minute. What in terms of your definition of time frames, of short term and medium short term, how many months? How many months is medium term? How many months is long term? Just reflect on that before you proceed with the presentation.
Short term is April 2013 to March 2014.
Short term is April?
2013 to March 2014. Mm-hmm. Medium term is April 2014 to March 2016. And long term is April 2016 to March 2018. Can I continue on the chair? Thank you. Second part is establish an intersectoral management and coordination mechanism for ECD by April 2014. And I think that one had to come down. It's just in the wrong part of number 8. The interim management and coordination mechanism for ECD established. We need to establish the intersectoral management and coordination mechanism for ECD by April 2014. It is short term, and establish an interim management committee on ECD. And again, it's led by the ECD with the other departments that are responsible. The human resources training and capacity building. And this is led by DBE, and I think part of the presentation will be looking at some of these issues, but I will go through it at any rate. The objective is building human capital development for the ECD sector in South Africa. The objective is human resource development plan for the ECD sector, government and ECD service providers, developed and costed, conduct capacity audit, establish posts for government departments, employ staff by government departments. It's led by DBE, and it is short term. The improved quality of ECD service through provisioning skills and career pathing for people working with young children and service providers. The activities, profile levels and category of ECD practitioners and services. Continued training of ECD practitioners through the EPWP process. Review of qualifications, map learning pathways, review employment practices to improve working conditions, mentoring and coaching, facilitate the establishment of the board to regulate the sector. It is led by DBE and supported by DPW. It is medium term. Revised national qualifications framework, which includes career path developed to address gaps. The activities revise the ECD qualifications, approve the ECD qualifications, review the ECD unit standards, and implement teacher development strategy for ECD grade R practitioners. Once again, led by DBE, and it's also with the assistance of the ETDP CETA. Short term. Revise the ECD training program for the alignment to the comprehensive package and differentiated modalities for ECD services, and compliance to the inclusive policy on disability. The activities to revise learning programs at all training institutions, for example, EPT colleges in place by 1st of April 2015. DBE leads, and it's a medium term. Number 13 states it's improved accredited provisioning of training for ECD practitioners, increased number of accredited training service providers, and DBE leads, and it's a medium term. 14 is integrated professional registration system for ECD practitioners. Integrated professional registration system for ECD practitioners working with children birth to pre-grade R in place by June 2015. It's short term, DBE lead. Develop a training program, number 15, for ECD sector on the changed ECD policy. A training program on the amended ECD policy implemented. DBE lead, it is long term. Number 16 is develop a comprehensive package of ECD services for children birth to school-going age with roles and responsibilities of government departments and other stakeholders. It's under the objective an expanded, strengthened and costed comprehensive package of services for ECD. The activities there is review the current package of services as described in the NIP ECD for young children pertaining to ECD services. Describe a comprehensive package of services to ECD. Develop and cost an implementation plan for ECD comprehensive package of services. Approval of the comprehensive package of services by April 2013. Implement the comprehensive package of services of ECD services. DSD leads short term, and we are busy with it. Unfortunately, the date that you put there, we haven't really reached it. It will most probably be the end of the year, but we are busy with this one. The core pack of comprehensive ECD services, which is the objective again, is an expanded, strengthened and costed comprehensive package of services for ECD. The objective is develop mechanisms and service delivery model for a comprehensive package of ECD services for children, both to school going, ensuring government provision of the obligatory services. We're looking at a new service delivery model being developed. DSD leads, it's a short term. The next objective is to develop an integrated infrastructure policy for ECD. Audit of existing ECD infrastructure provisioning. Produce an audit report by March 2014 with an improvement action plan. Identify models of good practice for differentiated ECD services. It's led by DSD, it's supported by COPTA, and it's short term. 19 states, develop an integrated infrastructure policy for ECD. Identify all policies relating to infrastructure in ECD. Compile a list of all applicable policies relating to infrastructure for ECD. Identify the gaps and challenges in the various infrastructure policies. Alignment of the infrastructure policies. Model bylaws on infrastructure developed and circulated to all municipalities by November 2013. Proposed amendments to infrastructure policies on ECD need to be included in parliamentary legislative program. Promulgation and implementation of the agreed upon infrastructure policy amendments. Develop a rural infrastructure rollout plan for ECD plan. It's DSD is leading, there's COPTA as a support, and we are now entering into an MOU with them on the whole issue of development of an integrated infrastructure policy. On the audit has begun, and I think they're doing 5,600 existing ECD centres for this particular year. The ECD infrastructure is number five, an expanded and strengthened and costed comprehensive package of services for ECD. And we want to amend and consolidate spatial norms and standards for ECD infrastructure. Develop integrated norms and standards for ECD infrastructure. DSD leads, proper support, and it's a medium term. And it's one of those areas that there are different types of norms and standards, special norms and standards that need to be consolidated. The next one is an objective is an ECD sector funding plan is developed including consideration of funding models for the proposed set of comprehensive ECD services, ensuring that poor and vulnerable children, including children with disabilities, can access ECD services. We want to identify and conduct research on all existing funding models. And the activities is identify and conduct research on all existing funding models, compile a list of all applicable funding models relating to ECD, identify the gaps and challenges in the various funding models for ECD services, develop a comprehensive funding model with different funding options and mechanisms, the new proposed funding model to be included into the parliamentary legislative program, and implementation of the approved funding model. DSD to lead, and it's supported by all the other departments in a short term. Funding policy with differentiated modalities for ECD developed. The ECD funding policy with cost benefits of different models, different costed ECD service models by November 2013. It is short term. DSD leads, but with the assistance of National Treasury. The funding norms and standards developed for every modality. We want benchmarks available for norms and standards for all services available by May 2013. Unfortunately, we haven't reached this one. And also, funding norms and standards available by June 2013. Once again, it's DSD leads, it's a short term. Develop an ECD sector funding plan. And that's the same activity, and it's led by DSD and National Treasury. Identify government and private donors to leverage resources for ECD services, including children with disabilities. Increase leverage and lobby for adequate financial and human resources for ECD from government. It's short-term, led by DSD and National Treasury. Strengthening the existing ECD donor forum for ECD services. Identifying private donors to leverage resources for ECD, develop memorandums of understanding with donors. It's led by DSD and National Treasury, and it's short term. Develop an integrated monitoring and evaluation framework. This is another objective, which is develop an integrated monitoring and evaluation framework. For ECD, we want to review existing monitoring and evaluation frameworks and align them with the new integrated ECD policy. We need to develop an integrated M&E framework aligned to the new ECD policy, test the validity and reliability of the integrated monitoring and evaluation framework. It is done by DPME. They lead and it's supported by the other departments. It's medium to long term. But however, DPME has already begun a process of evaluation with a draft to test if it's going to be a valuable tool to utilize. Number 8 is communication and awareness. A communication strategy implemented to widen knowledge and awareness on importance of ECD and where support is available, in particular early identification, intervention and referral necessary. Want to develop an integrated intersectoral awareness raising and communication strategy. Part of the activities are including provide public education, raise public awareness on the importance of ECD to ensure that all young children have access to quality ECD programs and services. Inform communities, parents and caregivers about the comprehensive package of services for ECD and how to access that comprehensive package of services for ECD. Make the community of all South Africa and all South Africans in general aware and commit themselves to supporting the implementation of South Africa's integrated plan of action. Inform communities about training opportunities in ECD through the expanded public works program. This will be led by GCIS, the Department of Communication, SABC, and it will, the other departments that will be included as stated there. Communications subcommittees with representatives from all departments under the leadership of GCIS will be included in this process and the time frame is short term and ongoing. Communication materials developed. We're looking at key messages through the media, radio, television, print media. Once again, with communication subcommittees with representatives from all departments under leadership of GCIS, it's medium term. Advocacy, communications and social mobilization campaign implemented. We want to complete the planning of an advocacy, communication and social mobilization campaign led by DSD but under the auspices of course of GCIS, and it's medium term. The ECD annual awards held. We are preparing for the 10th annual awards that is sponsored by EBSA and supported by all the different departments. And once again, the responsibility for this is the communication subcommittee of GCIS at short term. Rollout of an ICT strategy for children. And this is rollout of an ICT strategy to ECD, children in rural areas. It's Department of Communications who will lead with GCIS. It's medium term. And basically, they're rolling out computers and computers to ECD centers and training both ECD practitioners and teaching children how to utilize computers. So that process has begun. And we're hoping that the final rollout will take place within the next few years, but it's medium term, and they're hoping to roll out to 9 provinces. Conclusion, this is an integrated program of action which requires the commitments of all government departments, stakeholders, and the broader ECD sector in realizing the objectives of building a better future for young children in South Africa. And it is recommended that the Portfolio Committee on Social Development take note of the presentation made on the integrated ECD program of action moving ahead. Thank you very much.
Can we, Honourable Members, can we take the second presentation? Then we can question and interrogate the two presentations together. Just in terms of the long term, short term, and medium term, I see on this and in 2014 to March 2016, that's your medium term. But it's a, yeah, but to me it's the same time period, so two financial years. But you look, will you explain it why it's your long term, you see it as two financial years? It's both are two financial years. Okay. Yeah. I'm just seeing the logic in it. If you say something is medium and then something is long.
There might be overlaps as well, the communication is all out of ICT, but it's already started, so it's more short to medium. But I think it was more of a practical meetings to say this one is urgent, it's more urgent work, then the other one will start in the year 14, 15 and 15-16. You know, if you might also complete it before that. But when we have the finalized plan, I think it will have more specific within the given period, by when it will be done.
Thank you. Over to you, Mrs. Sanders.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Good morning. As indicated in the introduction, I'm acting as the Chief Director at the moment, but I am the Director for Early Childhood Development within the Department of Basic Education. The Directorate, just to put it into context, was established in 2000, with the main focus being on institutionalizing Grade R. And the reason why I'm making the point is so that, you know, we can understand what ECD covers in the different departments. The institutionalizing of Grade R started in 2000, and to date we have 80% of our public schools with a Grade R, and the rest is offered in community-based sites, some of which also receive funding from the Department of Basic Education. We have been working closely with the Department of Social Development only since 2005 in relation to the integrated plan, and that is for children below the Grade R age. We participated with the Department of Social Development in the diagnostic review as well as the review of the National Integrated Plan, as the DG had mentioned earlier. The presentation we'll look at what our responsibilities are at the moment, just briefly. Look at the training, an overview of the training of ECD practitioners, some of the progress, the activities that we've identified for this year, as well as our targets, and then the budget, and some of the challenges and way forward. As indicated by Margot, you know, in the integrated program of action for early childhood development, we have specific responsibilities related to the implementation of Education White Paper 5, which links to Grade R and the birth to 4 years. And the reason why within our context we speak about birth to 4 years is because at the age of 4 turning 5, children are able to go to Grade R. We have the specific responsibility of the development of a curriculum for both Grade R as well as birth to 4. Within the context of the comprehensive package of services, we also provide training and stimulation materials, and then the training of ECD practitioners and payment of stipends as part of the expanded public works program. These are some of the activities towards the development of the comprehensive HRD plan that is required. I thought it would be useful just to go through some of the key role players that are involved within the process of training, just to indicate it's not one specific department, but there are a number of other entities that are part of this. We have not included an entity on professional organization yet, because I think that we haven't yet established whether it would be within the context of the Department of Social Development or within the context of education, and there are different professional bodies in those two areas. But in terms of training, the starting point is that we train towards a qualification or a short program but that would be towards a qualification. And so we need to have registered qualifications on the National Qualifications Framework, and the accounting body there is the South African Qualifications Authority. So all of the training that is done within early childhood development should be found on the National Qualifications Framework. The training providers that are offering the qualification need to be accredited. And that accreditation is done by the Quality Council, and in our case, because it is occupation specific, it is done within the context of the ETDP CETA, and the registration as a private provider is done by the Department of Higher Education and Training if the qualification that has been offered is from level 4 up. The Department of Social Development identifies the learners, and the learners in this case would be practitioners who are working in ECD centres. The learners that are emerging out of the ECD centres is one component of what we should be doing, and all of our focus has been on that area, but we haven't yet done enough in terms of pre-service, meaning a young person that is wanting to be a ECD practitioner or a teacher within that sector, we haven't done enough about the training of young people in that sense. So we only work with, at the moment, we work with people that are in service already. And then the Department of Basic Education, in terms of the provincial education departments, are responsible for the training of these practitioners as well as the payment of stipends, and that, as I said, is part of the Expanded Public Works Program. And if they have done a qualification, the assessment and the awarding of the certificate again is done by the Quality Council, and in this instance it's the ETDP CETA. So these are all the role players that are involved. And integral to the success of training is for all of these entities to be working together. Some of the statistics that we have at the moment indicate that there have been quite a number of people that have been trained over the years. The difficulty around getting excited about the slide is that we're not exactly sure whether people have been counted twice in 2 years. Because if people have been involved in a training program that is an 18-month training program, it could be that they've been counted in 2 years as well. And some of the training that has been offered is not a full qualification. So this picture doesn't give us a true reflection of the training that is happening. What we are doing at the moment is developing a tracking instrument that will be used by the provincial departments and others that are involved in training in order for us to have a much clearer picture of the training that is currently being conducted. The activities that we have for this year, together with the tracking of training, is the development and finalization of a national curriculum for children, birth to four, the finalization of the HRD plan, and as well as the development of materials for parents and caregivers. As the DG mentioned earlier, during the diagnostic review, one of the main elements that was a critique of what we are doing in government is that we have not done enough for children up to the age of 2 years. And so stimulating children within that age is critical. And members will know that, they speak about the first 1,000 days of a child's life as being the most critical. And we need to do much more in that area. The training targets that have been set for this year looks at all of the people that are involved in training. Some of the CETAs, for example, are offering learnerships. The Department of Social Development is also embarking on some part of the training, as well as the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. And so we as the Department of Basic Education must not abdicate our responsibility and ensure that we coordinate and manage the process of training during this year. I thought it might be useful just to indicate that in terms of our budget structure, provinces in Program 7 have two sub-programs within the budget structure. The one sub-program is for Grade R, and the second sub-program is pre-Grade R. This is the budget that has been allocated for this MTF. And it takes responsibility for training and payment of stipends, as well as the provision of resources in some of the provinces. And then in Free State, Limpopo, and Gauteng, they've already embarked on curriculum implementation. And so the budget in the provinces takes responsibility for those areas. Some of our key challenges is really about the lack of reliable data, but that has really been sorted out to a large extent by the audit that the Department of Social Development is working on, as well as the tracking tools that we are putting in place. At provincial level, we really struggle with maintaining the thrust of the plans that have been agreed to at national level, and so there's much more that we need to do with the Department of Social Development within the interdepartmental meetings at provincial level. The plan itself is in the process of being finalized, and once that is done, I think it's going to be helpful for us to ensure that we have compliance in terms of the different activities. The HRD plan at the moment kind of leans itself towards talking about the officials and the practitioners, but there are other role players in the ECD sector that need to also become part of the HRD plan, and that would be your principals and managers, as well as the support staff within the ECD centres. So your cooks, your gardeners, your administrators, etc., will be part of the HRD plan. We've developed terms of reference for contracting a service provider who would be able to engage with all of the relevant stakeholders and departments on that particular area. The fifth area is the raising of the bar with respect to the minimum qualification for ECD practitioners. Currently, according to the Children's Act, the minimum requirement is a level 1 qualification, which is equivalent to your grade 9 in the schooling sector. And what we are proposing and working towards is raising that to at least a level 4 qualification, which is equivalent to your grade 12 qualification. And that is towards putting our practitioners on a career path that would take them into different spheres of teaching. The minimum requirement in the Department of Basic Education to be a teacher is a level 6 qualification, and that is the qualification that currently we are working at ensuring that our grade R practitioners realize. And so I think that we need to ensure that there's a clear career path for people that are working within the ECD sector. Lastly, within the National Development Plan, one of the recommendations made was the implementation of 2 years of preschool education as opposed to just the 1 year. We are looking at the development of a concept paper with respect to this so that we can really outline it in collaboration with the other plans that are being finalized at the moment. And so it leaves us with, for the rest of this year to finalize the plans and implementation protocol, securing the necessary funding and capacity, and then to continue to work together to make sure that in terms of the integrated program of action that it would be able to be realized for the children of the country. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I'll give you an opportunity now to interact and interrogate the two presentations. Can we go down the road of that? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to thank also two presenters. With a very good program that they have been presented to us. Chairperson, my little bit, both comment and question. Firstly, I'll start with a question that, because you'll find that you get a good program and a nice and good program with a policy, But when you go down there in the people, you find that there is no implementation. I love to ask to the department that the monitoring and evaluation from those stakeholders that they're talking about here in the document, they have people that they make sure that they follow them, that these programs, they are implemented surely, or maybe people, they are just taking the program with them, that nothing happened in the community. Because we find that in our community, we find that we have some NGOs that they go to the department and say, you are doing this, you are doing that in the community. When you go to the community, it's not like that. It's not that they say. Again, Chair, I want to thank the department about the integration to those old department, education and public works, because the department is alone, it cannot do all these things that is found that sometimes things are related to the education, but education is not included in those programs. Now, I hope this program, it will make an impact in our community, because what I see here is very, very good, Chairperson, and I thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation from both presenters. Mine will be to check a few things on the first presenter. The amendment of the Children's Act, is it because of the integration? Why it has to be amended, and which clause on the particular act that will be amended? On the second presenter is the progress to date in terms of training. If you look at provinces, looking at Free State in 2009, there was zero. But if you go down to KZN 2009-2010, there were numbers there, but also decreasing. You end up having 0-0-2011-2012. You further go down to Northern Cape, where you have your 8 in 2009. And zero on 2011 in terms of training. Just want to have an understanding as to why this number, in terms of being increased, if there is a necessity for training that has to be done continuously, but there are some decrease. I just want to have that understanding. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the two presentations. They are very informative. Mine is just to ask you, Marco, about the rollout of computers. Where do you have started, what you have left, what you have achieved on that? And then this thing of different policies from different municipalities. How do you make sure that at the end of the day we achieve our goals for this thing of ECGs? And then mine is to the Department of Education, duration of the training, how many months, how many years does it take them? And then training targets, I'm a little bit worried about KZN and looking how vast is that province, and there's only 100 targets. Maybe I don't understand. But when we go to the budget, it says that you didn't give us numbers or pages, but when you go to the budget, the money is too high, but the target of the training is 100. I don't understand. I just need clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm also glad to thank the two presenters for the wonderful presentation, and I'll apologize for arriving late, but I did put in an apology with the secretary. And when you arrive where the presentation has been done,
almost complete. It's a bit difficult to ask a question because maybe it has been answered already, but if it is, the chairperson will correct me. I just want to find out that the last time I was in the committee and we were talking about the ECDs, we raised a concern about the children with disabilities, especially in the rural areas. I just wanted to know if there are centers, the ECD centers in rural areas, are they now adequately equipped to accommodate the children with disabilities? And how is the, you know, when we talk of ECDs in urban areas, we understand that we're talking to people who are a bit clearer about some of the things, people who will read and understand their rights and all that. But when we talk about people in rural areas, some of them still do not know about this. Are the ECD centers really getting the support that it deserves in the rural areas? That is all I just wanted to find out.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the presenters. Definitely very informative presentation. To the Department of Education, I think your slide is not numbered, but the slide that talks to the budget. If that talks to the budget, I see the Free State and the Northern Cape, I mean in 2013-2014, which is now, are these millions? Is this 2 million? Yeah, but and the others 12 and 41 million, blah blah blah. Why is their budget so small? What was the criteria? I'm trying to get to, you know, the criteria used that some will get a size 94, some 114, and then you've got the 2 million. You know, what was the criteria in terms of allocating the budget? And where you talk about the training targets on a slide just before that one. I just want to know if there is a plan within the department to incorporate the grade R teachers as part of the staff establishment in provinces. Because I think until then, until we do that, then we will be able to take charge and control in terms of grade R fully. And then the rest, the 0 to 4 or 5, then will be at community level of ECDs, blah, blah, blah. So do you have any plan in future to put them within a staff establishment? And then the other thing, the grade R teachers, are they recognized by SAKE, the South African Council for Educators? And if not, I mean, why are they not? And I base this on the question that you will be improving in terms of coming with curricula, ensuring that everybody's trained and all that. And the other issue, do you have any plan in terms of dealing with, it's not really corruption, but, you know, this fly-by-night type of colleges that say they also offer the ECD. There's so much mushrooming in Joburg. If you go into the area of, is it Melville or something? Melville and deep in town, somewhere by N Street and all that. There's so many placards. Everybody's running an ECD, and they know the term, ECD, ECD. So do you have any plan as we do oversight and check this thing so that we don't end up with bogus type of teachers, and particularly in terms of registration? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can I give over to the presenters just to respond?
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'll deal with some few and then my colleagues will add. Let me start with the issue of monitoring of services in provinces. What I need to report is that currently provinces do have people who are going out to do monitoring. However, I must indicate, Honourable Members, that this is one of our weakest links in the department, mm-hmm. where we are not strong. So we are working towards reinforcing appointing young people through EPWP to assist us to visit each and every ECD program that is available in the community. And also this is linked to the audit, because currently we also don't have a database
the registered facility and non-registered that are busy mushrooming that the Honourable Member is referring to. So the audit will begin to indicate to us what is available out there so that we can really intervene properly as a department. Now, in terms of the availability of ECD facilities for children with disabilities in rural areas, what I can indicate is that our approach as a department as we implement ECD, we realize that we also need to emphasize the non-center-based program, because sometimes in facilities that are existing, some organizations don't afford to create to ensure accessibility of children with disabilities in terms of what their needs are. So all we're saying, we are where there are a lot of children, where centers are able to integrate them, they do. But as a department, we're saying, let's come up with a non-center-based program that will ensure that other children access stimulation and ECD program at a particular venue where accessibility is possible, rather than building, because they are still struggling with funds. Because remember, most of the facilities are run by NGOs. We now that moving towards making ECD a public good, that's when now government will ensure that all services, all children access ECD services. There's a Free State model that is being rolled out of mobile ECD facilities, non-center based. That's the one that we want to replicate in all the other provinces. I think I'll hand over to my colleagues to deal with ICT and other specific questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kumalo. The amendment of the Children's Act, and why we grant amendment in which section? If you look at the Children's Act, it's that speaks to ECD in section, it's chapter 5 and chapter 6. One of our biggest problems is the fact that ECD is, at the moment, it's a May service. And it's stated in the Act like that. It says that provincial governments may allocate money to the service. So inherently, there's a particular problem with the way the policy is written. That is why we've got to then do the new policy and then come forward with the amendments. Otherwise, we will not get the public good that Connie has spoken about, nor will we get the universal access that you've seen in my presentation that we've completed. So that is really where it has to start. Because if we don't amend the Act, it means that none of those things that we've mentioned is going to have any impact. So that's the reason for the clauses which will come through. But it's really to amend that. If it's an agreed policy and it becomes a public good, and it means that government takes responsibility, we change to from a may, it has to be a must. So that's the first one. The second one on the computers and the ICT strategy. It's rolled out by the Department of Communication, and we believe that it's really a very interesting program to teach young children to respect, first of all, respect the utilization of ICT, to understand how it gets used, and also the third one is to start teaching children from very young how to utilize computers. The rollout has begun in Gauteng, and they've put money aside, and I think there was 40 ECDs. Centers that have already been allocated computers, and the other rollout in the eight different provinces will start as from the end of June. So at this point, I can't give you exact amount of computers that have been rolled out by the Department of Communication in the other eight provinces. I know what has happened in Gauteng. The municipalities, that is very difficult. As you are aware that they are, it's the sub-legislation, it's the bylaws. We are hoping that in some way we can at least provide a standardized policy which the municipalities would then have to take through their processes and then make into a bylaw. But we understand that it's going to be very difficult. But at least we are working with SOGA, on this matter in the hope that at least we can have some form of a standardized policy that it can be used as a draft or can be used as a model by other municipalities when they draft the legislation for on the establishment and on the funding and on the registration of ECD services and programs in the municipalities. We've had the meeting with the municipalities last year already, and this is one of the aspects that they are looking at, because if you look at the Act as it stands now, is that there is the ability to designate ECD services to the municipalities that are ready, and they will then take over. Instead of the Department of Social Development rendering services, the municipalities will then be the primary provider of ECD services and monitoring and registration. So that process is already in the Act. But it's the difficulty that we're having at the moment is, if you just take Gauteng, if you move from Ekurhuleni to Sedibeng, there are different bylaws that oversee the establishment of ECD centres. For example, in Ekurhuleni, you could have registration that they provide you a health certificate for a year. And if you go to Sedibeng, they can give it to you for 6 months. So I think it's that type of standardization, because it makes it very difficult. How do you... So every year you've got to go back, or every 6 months you've got to go back and go get a new health certificate and a new registration to actually operate the centre. So I think those are some of the areas that we are hoping we could at least come to some understanding with the with SALBA and also with COCTA in terms of how we're going to roll out some of these processes at municipalities. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chairperson and members. In terms of the monitoring and evaluation, just one of the comments that I would like to make around that is that what we have found in the Department of Education is that although 90% of the schools get visited and get visited regularly by officials, that it doesn't translate into improved learner performance. And so we've got to be very conscious about what it is that people do when they go to the schools or to the sites in this case, because we're wanting them to provide support to what is happening within the ECD centres as well as in the schools. And so in Gauteng, for example, there is a monitoring and evaluation system, and we're looking at how to use that system within the other provinces as well, so that it can in fact have an impact on both the children as well as their parents and caregivers as well as the community. The second issue that was raised was that of training, and it's linked to the issue of budgets. I think, honourable members, that when there's a budget allocation that you, if you're running a province and there's a pressure on your budget for statutory functions and compulsory services like the provision of grades 1 to 12, and there's, for example, an increase in salaries for teachers, the provincial department grabs anything that they can get hold of in order to honour that. And sometimes the pre-grade R budget becomes the one that is a soft target within the provincial departments. We are working closely with our provincial budget monitoring group within the Department of Education, and we currently are embarking on a roadshow with all of the provinces to meet with the HODs as well as the CFOs in the provinces, particularly to try to protect the money, because that money is directly linked to the training. And where you see fluctuation, both in terms of amounts of monies and the requisite training that is done within the province, you will find that it's largely that budget gets underspent in order to cover other areas within the province. And so, as I say, we are trying to protect the money at the moment. The duration of training is linked to whether it's training towards a full qualification and depending on the level of that qualification. Because, for example, if you are doing a level 4 qualification, there are 120 credits that are required in that. But if you're doing a level 6 qualification, it's 360 credits. So it could be anything from 1 year, 1.5 years to 3 years. It will also be dependent on whether it's being offered as a part-time course or as a full-time course, and that would determine the duration. Some of the skills programs are as short as 3 months, but obviously that is not a full qualification, and so, you know, the duration is different depending on what it is that is being offered in terms of the training. KZN is a case in point around the fact that they don't use the pre-grade R budget on pre-grade R, and they use it in other areas, and so that is one of the main issues that we are dealing with in terms of KwaZulu-Natal. What we have started in the department, particularly for children with disabilities, is firstly to understand what it is that is hampering parents from accessing the services that are being offered within communities, but we're also looking at an early identification process, because the earlier you can catch the disability, the more you know, it would be able to be addressed before it gets to the point of not being able to be reversed. There are some of the disabilities that if you catch them early enough, you're able to reverse the you know, the impact that it would have on the children. And so we're really trying to, with our inclusive education directorate, work at an early identification process. There are already programs that are existing, but we are not offering it as the state. It is really being offered by NGOs and others. The criteria generally for the allocation of budgets should be the equitable share, as all of us know, but once it gets into the department, there are certain programs that get prioritized. And so that too is one of the areas that we are looking at in terms of with the Department of Social Development, when the issue about norming of the funding was being raised. We also need to norm how this money is being spent within the Department of Basic Education, so that we can ensure it can be spent on what it is that is being allocated for. Within the department, we are considering the inclusion of grade R as part of the staff establishment within schools, and there's been quite substantive work done on that at the moment, and we are busy you know, looking at securing the funding for it, because currently the grade R practitioners do not enjoy any additional things like pension or medical aid, etc. The minimum amount that is provided to them is 5,000 rand per month, and that is without benefits. But we have put in a bid, and in 2015-16, in that, the outer year of the MTF, there's been significant allocation provided to the provinces, because the idea is that in 2015-16 we would start with the employment of grade R teachers. All of the practitioners that are working in grade R classes could be registered with the South African Council for Educators. And that is conditional registration, and it is because, as I indicated, the minimum requirement for qualification as a teacher is level 6, but for grade R, we have conditional registration with the South African Council for Educators for the level 4 practitioners. The colleges that have emerged offering ECD is really a big challenge, not only in Gauteng, but it's across the country. And we are working with the Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as the Quality Council, the ETDP CETA, to ensure that we
make it known who, and the Department of Higher Education is very clear that if somebody is offering a qualification and they're not registered, we've got to blacklist them. And so we work very closely with the Department of Higher Education and Training on that matter. But it really does disadvantage people who have paid money to get a certificate that at the end doesn't, you know, mean anything. And so it's really a major challenge that we must all work with. And if we do know about some practice like that, to report it to the Department of Higher Education and Training, because they deal with that very swiftly. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. My follow-up for the ECD, as they said, they are busy with the allocation of centers of the ECD. I think it would be good for us to get the list of those centers for the oversight purpose shared. To understand where they are, because when you go to do the oversight, you must know where you are going. Thank you, Chair, on that. Again, in the education, for the basic education, as they insisted that they monitoring and evaluate the schools, I want to understand that they know about the overcrowded of Dr. Matonem Sehar's primary in Ivory Park. In Rubbish, because I go to that school twice, and I found that children are staying even on top of the table with too much overcrowded there. So I want to understand that the monitoring and evaluation, if they do it, why they didn't mention that overcrowded here? Because actually, when the primaries in Ivory Park, all of them, they are overcrowded. In my Buya primary, there is a problem of teachers.
What are you talking about? Is it primary school or primary school? Yeah, can we talk about primary school later, because we didn't visit it. Yeah, maybe you can engage Mrs. Samuel after the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Chairperson, a follow-up on the conditional registration. Why is it conditional? What are the conditions? I don't understand that part. And then the issue of the staff establishment integrating the grade R teachers into the staff establishment, because remember, they're already in schools. Hence, she said 80% of schools have got grade R now, and some are still outside. I did not get an answer on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's a follow-up on what has been explained. Maybe it just puzzled me. In the current training on the grade R practitioners versus the teachers that are already in the field, in terms of their remuneration when they are getting paid, because I understand that there is this level that is expected. To all of them, what will happen? Are they going to be remunerated on the same, or what will happen? Because I understand that much as they are within the field, but the training, the current training, will differ from what, from the information or from the level where they are, together with the current training that is taking place now. Thanks.
Professor, mine is, you didn't answer me when I asked about the duration of the training. Is it 6 months, 12 months, especially of those of ECDs?
Can you please answer
the next question, please? Thanks, Chair. Honourable Chair, let me start with the issue of our conditional registration. According to the legislation at the moment, the minimum requirement for being a professional teacher is level 6. That is the minimum requirement in terms from a qualifications perspective. In order to accommodate the grade R practitioners who do not have that level 6, this category was agreed to by the South African Council for Educators. And so the condition attached to it is it's conditional for as long as they're teaching within a grade R class. The normal registration within the South African Council for Educators
if you have a registration, you would be allowed to teach anywhere. Whereas with this, it's conditional attached to the institution that you are teaching at. I mentioned earlier that in 2015-16, the current MTF, the outer year, which is 2015-16, there's been a significant increase in the budget allocation for the provinces in order for them to employ grade R teachers at that stage. And so the plan that we are working at the moment is to have two categories of teachers in grade R. It would be your unqualified teacher, who we currently talk about as the practitioners, and the second would be your qualified teacher. So as soon as you have your level 6 qualification, you would then be able to be absorbed into the system as a fully qualified teacher. The change that will be experienced in 2015-16 would be both from the point of view of the establishment of posts, grade R posts within schools, but secondly, that those unqualified teachers, who we talk about as the grade R practitioners, would be receiving an unqualified teacher's salary with benefits. So that we can deal with the fact that currently the grade R practitioners get 5,000 rand without benefits. So the idea is to normalise the situation for the grade R practitioners. In terms of the duration of the training, it really is dependent on what it is that the person is receiving training for. So if it's for a full qualification, which most of the grade R practitioners are part of, it would be anything from 1 year to 3 years, and that would be dependent on what is the level of the qualification. So the level 6 qualification that is currently the minimum requirement for grade R is being offered to teachers that are in service. So those grade R practitioners that are in grade R classes are being offered an opportunity of upgrading their qualifications towards the level 6 qualification, and that again is dependent on what it is that emerges out of the recognition for prior learning. So for all of them, there would be an RPL process put in place with the ETDP CETA, so that we can be sure about not letting people do the same thing over and over again. And so that the duration of that training for the upgrading of the qualification could be anything from 1 to 3 years. But Honourable Chair, the challenge I think that we have with the ECD practitioners is that we don't have an employment opportunity for them currently. And so we have to, within the development of the plan, get the employment of these ECD practitioners underway, because that would enable us to develop the professional track that is required for all of the practitioners, whether you're in an ECD centre or whether you're in a school, and whether you're teaching and working with children that are 2 years of age or whether you're working with six-year-olds, you should be able to have similar conditions of service for everybody that is working in the sector. So I think that once we've got that sorted out, that it would require an injection of major funding within ECD in order to cater for that. I think that you know, that is going to help us towards ensuring that it's meaningful training that that people undergo. At the moment, the practitioners move from one qualification into another if they can get a stipend attached to it, because they don't have full employment. Yeah. So I hope that deals with that too.
Thank you very much, Honourable Beavis and the Department of Social Development and Basic Education. I think these presentations are going to be especially helpful when we do our oversight visit, and also engage with local governments, because now we can also engage with local government and provincial government when we do our oversight visit, and also be a bit more informed on in terms of what to focus on when you visit centers, and engage with the relevant the different spheres of government. Thank you very much, honourable members. Thank you very much, Mr. Martins. Meeting adjourned.
can ask just, it's not a long question.
Oh, the planning has been asked.
Okay.
Why don't you speak to the DG?
No, it's fine.